Welcome to Business Lives by Vox Markets, the podcast that brings you closer to the people who shape the world of business. We give you an insight into the lives of the individuals who stand out from the crowd. For updates on the latest episodes, please subscribe to our channel.
On the podcast today, we have South African entrepreneur and CEO Heather Baker. With an MBA from London Business School, the recent grad set up Topline Comms with only 3 years' experience within the industry. Heather is a digital strategist, star blogger, and trainer with a passion for technology that fuels the direction of her business.
There was no spark initially. It was more of a case of looking around me at the company I was in and thinking I could do this better myself.
Heather Baker, welcome to the Business Lives podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to hear from you, and I'm really excited to hear about your story. Would you like to start by telling the listeners who you are and what you're about?
Sure. I run an integrated communications consultancy called Topline Comms, and I've been running it since 2008. The company is based in London, and we work with primarily tech companies to help them grow. And our services include PR, video, search, marketing, content, and inbound marketing. I live in London, although I'm South African originally, and I have an 18-month-old baby and a 6-year-old Labrador.
Oh, fantastic. So maybe if we take a little step back, what were you doing before you set up Topline Comms?
Before I set up Topline Comms, I was running the PR department at a media agency in London, and honestly finding it quite tough. I didn't have a huge amount of PR experience at the time. In fact, I had very little work experience. I was only 3 years into my career when I started Topline. So it was all a bit sudden and a bit of a leap of faith.
Okay, so was there a specific moment when you were working in the PR agency where you thought, I'm just going to do this myself? Was there a spark? Did you notice the gap in the market? Why did you go for that leap of faith?
There was no spark initially. It was more of a case of looking around me at the company I was in and thinking I could do this better myself, and just going for it at the time. I was only 27 and I didn't have huge financial commitments. I had a small mortgage on my house and I had no dependents, so it didn't really feel like a huge risk doing it. Unfortunately, that was 2008, so it wasn't the best time to be launching a business. It was kind of a tricky economic environment. But when I started, we were doing more of what I'd been doing before, and it was only about 3 years later that the spark came. We launched as a PR agency. So for the first few years, we were a pure PR agency, and we had very hard-won clients because of the economic climate. And we found that we were doing really good PR work for them. We were generating great media coverage and delivering great coverage reports to them, but we were still getting fired. And what we found was that most of our clients thought that great media coverage would result in loads of inbound leads and the phone ringing off the hook or the website crashing. And the media landscape was changing quite a bit. And that was the case with media coverage in the late 90s and early 2000s. But with the advent of social media and people's attention spans being pulled in all different directions, good media coverage just wasn't always having the impact that companies wanted. And that's when we really started thinking about how could we change this business to make it more about what companies want. And we find what most of our clients want is they want growth, which means that they want inbound leads or some sort of communication support that helps them generate or convert leads. And they want recognition, and most of that recognition is normally in support of that growth objective, or it's around raising finance. You've got to be known by the right investors if you want to attract investment. And those are the two objectives that we focus on now for our clients. So it's kind of a PR agency with a twist. It's definitely a lot more than a PR agency now. And we started adding new services that would help us achieve those goals. So sometimes people come to us for PR and we advise them that PR is not going to do what they think it's going to. And we end up either turning them away or working with them, but on a completely different strategy.
So your company has just been constantly changing from then and just working with the advance of technology as well. I can imagine that that has made a massive difference to the way in which Topline works.
Yep. Absolutely, always changing and still changing. And I think when we stop changing, we'll stagnate and die. I think that the only way to really grow a business, particularly a consultancy business, is to listen to the feedback from the market and to respond to it and to change and to become better because of it. So, yes, change is a constant here at Topline.
So working in the PR firm and... You said that you know you wanted to get into setting up your own company. What made you able to do that as opposed to anybody else?
I think I was probably more naive than most people, and that's probably what drove it. I completely underestimated how difficult it would be.
What did you find difficult?
Well, I was very inexperienced. I only had 3 years of work experience and I only had 3 years of PR experience at the time. And I'd only really been working on generating new business for 3 or 4 months before I left my previous company. So I really had to start from the bottom. And being a foreigner in London, you don't have the network that you maybe do back home. So it's much more lonely. You don't have the resources that you can draw on. So initially, winning new business was incredibly hard, particularly 2008, 2009, 2010. Initially, before we opened our doors, we had secured 6 contracts, and 3 of them disappeared in the first week after our launch. So that was pretty scary. And I made huge mistakes. I took investment from the wrong investors that I then had to get out of a few years later. It was just a really, really challenging few years, getting the business off the ground, differentiating our service, winning new business with no history and no track record and no connections. So it was just unbelievably challenging. And probably during those first 3 or 4 years, if I'd had the opportunity to walk away easily, I probably would have done it at most points during that period. It was very tough and very, very all-consuming.
So did your MBA at London Business School give you the education to learn the skills, or is there no such thing as you can educate for the experience that you need to set up your own company and the challenges that, by the sounds of it, were pretty tough?
Yeah, I think the quality of education at London Business School is very high. I definitely picked up some useful skills, particularly around finance and accounting, which I had never been trained in. So it was very helpful to learn how to, you know, read a balance sheet and manage a P&L. But the value of the degree was much more than the actual day-to-day content. Most of that content, if you're a diligent reader, you could probably pick up in your own time. For me, the value was around building a really solid and supportive network. And I graduated from London Business School in 2012, but I still use that network all the time, and it's not just my 70-odd classmates, it's the 30,000 alumni around the world, most of whom will step in and help you if you ask. So that's incredibly valuable. I was also quite young and inexperienced, and going into pitches with much older, much more serious CEOs and heads of businesses, and I think the degree gave me a bit of credibility, and helped me deal with that very common imposter syndrome. It's London Business School is a very well-known name, and you know, I think it really helped with that. And even if it didn't help with that, it helped with my confidence and helped me feel more valid in going into those pitches and those meetings. And we've won quite a lot of business through the network since then. That's been very valuable, and we're able to tap into the network to help us with the business, to help us find resources for our clients and add extra value to our clients. So it has been really amazing. And one of the organizations that I probably wouldn't have encountered had I not gone to London Business School was the Entrepreneurs Organization, which I joined in 2012, and that's been hugely supportive and helpful organization and from a networking and learning and support point of view. So I would definitely say that London Business School was tremendously valuable to me, but not in the way most people would expect.
Oh, fantastic. So you mentioned a few of the common mistakes that you've made as an entrepreneur. Do you have sort of any advice for anybody in the situation that is thinking about going it alone at maybe such a young age that you did?
I mean, I actually quite dislike unsolicited advice, and I try to stop myself from giving it, although I think everybody falls into the trap of giving it sometimes. I'm pregnant at the moment, and I find that anyone who sees my bump and has held a baby once in their life has some advice for me. So I'm quite aware of the of not giving unsolicited advice, and that's partly because I think what worked for me won't necessarily work for you. You have a different business, you have different goals in life, you're in a different situation and a different context. But it has been very helpful for me to watch other businesses and other entrepreneurs over the years. I keep my eye on what competitors and what other businesses are doing, and I think there's a huge amount to learn from them, and that's not just the successful ones. You can take as much from the ones that fail as you can from the ones that succeed. And
what entrepreneur have you always kept your eye on and maybe tried to follow in the footsteps of?
Well, the business I've always followed and kept my eye on is Xero, the accounting software company, and we actually work with them now. They're now a client of ours, but I've always been completely blown away by how that business behaves, by how they treat their staff and their suppliers and their people, how they market themselves, and how they build their product so much with the end user in mind. So I always refer to them as a real kind of inspiration for us and how we run the business at Topline. And then there've been quite a few that haven't been quite so successful that I wouldn't want to mention, but that I've also learned a lot from. It's a privilege to be able to watch other people build their businesses and learn from those. And some of those have been competitors, some of them have been clients that we've worked with, and some of them have just been organizations we've encountered in the market and we've followed and watched. So it's nice to be inspired or to learn from your competitors and other businesses.
And you're constantly, obviously in the industry that you're in at the moment, you're constantly reading media. What media do you seek out first thing as soon as you get up in the morning? What are you looking at? What are you trying to find?
I tend to listen to the radio first thing in the morning. And then I will usually look at what's trending on just trending online. So that could be either what's trending on social or just what's trending on the news. And then the actual publications that I follow will be the likes of Wired and TechCrunch, because we do a lot in the tech space, to kind of keep my eye on what's going on in the media. And then we have a system, obviously, because we do a lot with the media, we have a system within the business of flagging stories and articles and angles that are relevant to us and our clients. So I follow that quite well as well.
So you briefly mentioned at the beginning what Topline's about. Why don't you go into a little bit more detail about exactly what inbound marketing is? A lot of people might not know what that is. So why don't you explain how that would make a company grow and what Topline does?
Yeah, so we actually have a slightly unusual take on inbound marketing. So we call ourselves an integrated marketing and communications agency. And the way we work is typically a tech company would come to us and they would want to achieve better growth, more sales, and better recognition in their market. And we would spend about 4 to 6 weeks doing quite in-depth research, so understanding the business, understanding who's bought from them before and why, who hasn't bought from them before and why, who their target market is, how they stand up against their competitors, what big events are happening in their industry or in the world globally that might impact their ability to grow. And we'll look to really understand the behavior of their target market. And then once we understand that, you know, if you're selling to small businesses, for example, we have quite a lot of in-depth understanding of that market. You know, we'll know, okay, well, media relations is one thing, but you've got to be able to be found online, and that's how you're going to get in front of these small businesses. And if you're selling to ambitious small businesses, there are certain events that you need to be associated with and speaking at and attending and exhibiting at. And, you know, there are certain topics that you need to be seen to be speaking about and to be answering, and pain points that you need to be addressing. And we look at all of those factors, take them together in context, and build out what we call an integrated communication strategy. So that could include if there's a huge opportunity online through organic search, that could include a search marketing element. If we find that the target audience is influenced on this particular issue by the media and the national media, then we'll go for a national media campaign. And if we find that they're, you know, very cautious and need to be educated on a particular issue, then we'll try and do that. We'll try and help them to help the client to educate the target market. So it's a very kind of bespoke and complex service, but the ultimate goal is to get them all into that sales funnel. So if that's like a lot of software companies are looking for inbound leads, so customers to come to them and say to them, I want to work with you, rather than having to have a sales team that goes out to find their customers. So that'll have one type of strategy. If you're a very sales team-based business model, then a lot of our work will be in supporting your sales team and helping your sales team build out their prospect list and then make sure that they've got the right collateral to approach those prospects and that they're supported with the right media awareness. So they've got a much higher chance of converting and converting to those leads.
Okay, so moving forward, what does the future hold for Topline Comms?
Well, growth. We're on our own ambitious growth plan, growth path, and we've grown organically, almost exclusively organically up to now, but we're looking at different ways of growing in the future, so potentially through acquisitions. So that's kind of where we're heading. With GDPR coming into effect in May 2018, that's really going to affect how the marketing, how people do marketing, how businesses market themselves. And there are certain very successful marketing techniques from the past that aren't going to be possible under GDPR. So we expect to see a lot more focus on organic search marketing and PR and social marketing in the future, depending on what happens with Facebook, because I think that's a little bit uncertain as well. So, you know, we're looking at what the market is doing, and we're hopefully going to be able to adapt and respond to that so that we can support our clients in navigating the environmental changes that they're facing.
Well, by the sounds of it, you have just constantly been adapting. And something that is on everybody's radar is cryptocurrency and the blockchain. Are you prepared for that? And how will that affect your market?
Yeah. Well, I'm a huge believer in and supporter of cryptocurrency generally, but more specifically blockchain technology. We've been working with a client in the space for the past 6 months, but I think that blockchain technology is going to completely revolutionize the tech space, but it's going to revolutionize some of the much more traditional industries like banking and law and finance. And I think that cryptocurrency and Bitcoin is just the first manifestation of blockchain technology. It's kind of like the first app on the App Store, Bitcoin. And so I think whether Bitcoin survives or not is kind of irrelevant, because I think blockchain technology is here to stay and there's no stopping it. It will completely change the way businesses interact with each other, the way people interact with each other. I think that that'll emerge very quickly over the next over the next few years. So I'm very excited about it. And we're speaking to quite a few either cryptocurrency or blockchain based businesses about helping them be first to market on their specific niche on the in their industry, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, very forward thinking of you and your company. So maybe a forward thinking thought for a 25-year-old who had £10,000 in his pocket. What would they be looking at?
That is a very, very difficult question to answer, and I guess that depends very much on their interests and their appetite for risk, and what they want to do with their with their life. But I would say the safest bet would be to spend it on education, because you'll at 25. I think you should always be learning, at 25, if you can broaden your mind and learn stuff, that'll pay off for the rest of your life, much more than most investments. I'm sure you could make some very lucky investments that would make you very wealthy, but wealth isn't all about money, is it?
No, it's not. And I, you know, Heather, you're still relatively young and you've got a young family on the way by the sounds of it. Is Topline here to stay?
Definitely. Topline's, when I originally started Topline, I thought, oh, I'll do it for a few years and then sell it and move on. I've never gotten to the point where I can't see a future that's more exciting than what we have now for Topline. There's just always so much going on and so much to look forward to and so much opportunity for the right company to take, that as long as it continues to change and improve and succeed, but that's not everything either. You know, to continue to change and improve and do better, and as long as I continue to learn and be able to use it as a creative outlet, then I hope to be running it and growing it for a long time.
Fantastic. Well, I think on that note, it's been great to have you and hear from you, Heather Baker. So thank you very much for coming onto the podcast.
And thank you for having me.
By the sounds of it, we need to keep our eyes out on Topline comms.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
For updates on the latest episodes, please subscribe to our channel.